You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, coming back from the break here, some of y'all heard the advertising going on during the breaks. And listen, Right Side Radio is a standalone business. And we are not owned by the stations that we broadcast on. In fact, we own all the content, and we have our separate offices, separate studios. We send them the signal, but we also have to run a business like anybody else. And one of the ways we, you know, survive as a business, we're a 501c3, which is part of it. But the other part is we sell ads. So if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, then the way you do that is contact us directly. And the way you do that is you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and you just click on the advertising link. And it takes you to a place where you can send us a message, and we will get on it, man. We're having dialogue with people here in the last couple of days who did the exact same thing. They went to rightsideradio.org, and they clicked on it because they know that this show sounds like what they believe in, and they want their business to be advertised among like-minded people. So that being said, if you want to advertise at Right Side, we'd love to have you on the team. Go to rightsideradio.org, send us a message, and we will jump right on it. Lots of texts in the Boomer. There's apparently a bunch of people want me to stop talking when Stranglehold comes on.
There's a lot coming in saying, hey, I agree with this.
Tom from Tanner just texted in too and said the same thing. He says, I agree. Longer play of Stranglehold at the break. Not quite getting to the awesome part. Phil, stop talking. It's time to hear Stranglehold. Okay, sorry. But we have had Ted Nugent on the show twice, and so, you know, in honor of that, perhaps we shall let Stranglehold play a little more. Yes, thank you very much for all of your opinions. Brand new texter in the line, Steve from Trinity. Glad you're in there. He takes a picture of the bridge. Wow, that's a serious bridge. The bridge near Phil Campbell. Says, wonder what the story behind this bridge to nowhere is. I don't know. I think I want to know more about this. What highway is that on? Go ahead and text it in for us there, Steve and Trinity. I'd love to hear more. Who else we got in here? Jeff from Hazel Green talks about several roads need to be renamed. They got Washboard Road in Huntsville, Corncob Lane, Pothole Street, Band-Aid Avenue. Are these real? I mean, I know most of Huntsville quite well. And I don't recall those streets. I spent a lot of time back in my earlier years, too, by the way, delivering pizza and then delivering flowers, believe it or not, all over Huntsville. So you memorize a street's name pretty quick at that point. JT from Lacey Springs, to McQueen's question, what to do first when Republicans regain the White House? Easy, restore what Biden stopped in his first days in office. That's a good answer. Because if you remember, Biden sat down at the desk in the Oval Office right after he was sworn in. And had a stack of executive orders. And the majority of them were just to rescind Trump this and rescind Trump that and rescind Trump that. And it was nauseating. What else we got in the line? Jeff from Indiana just says, come on, Boomer, we need some Wango Tango. So,
Wango Tango.
That's right. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Oh, man.
Great scene from the show Cheers. I used to love Cheers. Cheers had some of the best dynamics among the personalities on the show. And what's his name? Frazier walked into the bar, and he stood there at the top of the stairs. He says, I just heard the greatest philosophical moment I've ever heard on the radio. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Everybody just looked at him. Okay, sorry. That was funny to me, I guess. In my head, that was really funny. All right, let me jump over here to the next section of the Triple Dipper. We're only on Dipper number two. Everything is nothing. What do I mean by that? Everything is nothing. When you are so busy labeling everything and trying to draw out the differences in everything and everybody, eventually what happens is your efforts to be so-called inclusive, they gain you nothing because you have watered yourself down to the point that now you're a bunch of little factions that are each one's vying for their own piece. When the reality is, how about you just work on being the whole? Well, it's inclusivity. No, it's not. It's intersectionality, according to you. So liberals are big on this intersectionality thing. And what that means is they look at all the little divisive pieces that they've labeled. Like, for instance, what is the gay agenda called now? The LGBTQ2IA plus, I don't know, acronym. So it's not just the gay agenda. They've got so many factions within it. And then there's the disabled community, which, you know, I get it. They have some special needs. Let's deal with those, but you don't have to keep labeling them constantly and setting them aside. Or how about the Hispanic or the Latinx? Or how about, then there's, you know, of course, the racial demographics that we've seen forever, the black and white. But what's happening with liberals right now is they are so determined to divide society. Why would that be? Well, I think it's because when they divide, it's like divide and conquer. When they divide you up, then they've got, you know, less to work with. They don't have to, and they can pitch one against the other when they need to. But their intersectionalities are when they like to pretend we cross paths. You're not only gay, you're gay and handicapped. Look, an intersection. What else you got? Well, I'm gay and I'm also transgender and I'm handicapped. And I'm also black. Wow, you've got multiple intersectionalities. And it goes on and on, and they are constantly in the effort to divide. And my point here is, when you broaden up your agendas to include everybody's everything, you get a whole lot of nothing. Because you spend so much time trying to create division that you forget that what you're really needing to do is just work on the whole. How about this? We're all Americans. How about this? In your parties, you can all be Democrats, you can all be Republicans. How about this? If you go to a team and you work to play as a team, do you think that they, I mean, I've been in team sports before. There's going to be times when you're going to say, where's the O-line? Where are my hogs? You know, where's the secondary? Got a defensive secondary over here. Kickoff team. So you know that there are divisions within the team. They all wear the same uniform. They all wear the same brand. They all wear the same Super Bowl ring when it's over with. I'm just telling you, if you constantly divide and pit one against another, then you get a whole lot of everything means you really got a lot of nothing. And Joe Biden's the worst at it, man. So townhall.com, I'll kick off with this one. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Joe Biden, who called himself the great uniter, remember this? He spent time the last weekend delivering the commencement address at Howard University, an HBCU, a historically black college. Howard University hosted the President of the United States, who had an opportunity to go to the podium and speak to a large audience and provide encouragement and provide, you know, wisdom of his years, because he's got a lot of them, and to give them the big picture of America as being the place where you can take this college degree you're getting today, young men and women, and you can go out and do anything you want, because this is America. What did he do? No. He went up there and made sure they understood that systemic racism in this nation is going to try to keep them down. He literally spent time mouthing off about white supremacy being the greatest existential threat. And he even said, and I'm not just saying that because I'm at a historically black college. Sure. That's, yeah. Yes, you are. Because what he does is constantly work to divide. And he'll label it. And he's not, it's like he's got no shame. And so Victor Davis Hanson wrote this piece in townhall.com, came out today. And he says, Biden promised unity. Instead, he habitually smears half the country as semi-fascist and ultra-MAGA extremists. Biden is cognitively challenged and often incoherent. He's now losing support in the polls from African Americans, which were once his most loyal constituency. In response, Biden does what he's always done for some 40 years, mouth off about wild racist demagoguery. And he did. He went up there and he used the opportunity he had to encourage people to try and scare them and to divide them and to make sure they understood that it's a scary world full of, you know, different factions. And you need to find your faction and be pitted one against the other because that's how we get things done. No, that's how you polarize society. That's how you get nothing done. When I get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about the Alabama Democrat Party and how they were so intent upon factionalizing themselves that they got into a fight about it. And now they're getting nothing done. And they may even get shut down again. Unbelievable. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Is that Stranglehold? I'll just let it play a second. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Time now, 4:23 p.m. Let me tell you, folks, one of our advertisers is ZLA Solutions. So I know these folks personally, and I'm not kidding when I tell you, I am keenly aware of what a great job they've been doing. Had one of the biggest years they've ever had, and then moving into this year, just keeping it going. So at a time when our labor participation rate is low, ZLA Solutions is helping folks find people to put to work. So if you need people for your job site, you need people for your workforce, doesn't matter whether you need ones or twos or threes and you need them with special niche skills that are hard to find, or whether you need an entire shift full of people to work a factory line, doesn't matter. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it does not matter. ZLA Solutions, among all the things they do for businesses, they can help you with staffing, recruiting, background checks, drug testing, all of it. They can square your way, and they're good at it. And they do it for a lot of big-name employer groups all over North Alabama and beyond. So check out their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's the website for ZLA Solutions, ZLAUSA.com. And by the way, do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, so I'm in this section of the Triple Dipper called Everything is Nothing. When you're so intent upon dividing everything up, and pretend, like for instance, let's just say if you take a steak and you put it on a plate and then you look at it and you carve it up into little pieces, do you have more steak? Just a question. The answer is no, by the way. But that's what we're looking at. The Democrat Party thinks that they gain more by dividing us up into little pieces. What they really did was just divide the country. And they're doing it on a daily basis. It's like they can't help themselves. And then sometimes it gets funny, like almost ridiculous. Like here's a story that I pulled off Fox News. So you know about the whole DEI thing, right? Diversity, equity, inclusion. Oh my gosh, got to have more of that DEI. Give me some of that DEI. You got a pound of DEI? I'll take a pound of DEI. Diversity, equity, inclusion. A couple of activists named Michelle Sahin and Melissa DePino. They recently ended their partnership because they could not agree on compensation, among other things. So here's the deal. They had a company that specialized in teaching other companies how to deal with their privilege and to promote sensitivity training and basically insert DEI into their hiring and employment processes. And they totally broke down because among themselves, it says their professional and personal relationship crumbled when Sahin accused DePino of being insensitive to her role as a black woman. So let me get this straight. The DEI company charging big bucks to corporate America to teach them how privileged they are and to insert themselves into the process of hiring and maintaining, you know, staffing on the idea of diversity, equity, inclusion. They broke down over the fact that one claimed the other was racist. Does anybody see a problem with this? And the response by Sahin to the other one, DePino, is, this is what happens when white women insert themselves into what should be a black-led organization. It says, white supremacy and emotional abuse get masked under kindness. What does that even mean? White supremacy and emotional abuse gets masked under kindness. In other words, you were too nice to me. It's because you're a racist. Okay. And this should be a black-led company. Oh, really? I thought we were diverse and all about equity and inclusion. Well, not so much. Because when you focus on nothing but the various factions, when you focus on constantly pointing out the differences between people, then you don't wind up being inclusive. You wind up being in a position where everything about everybody matters all the time, and you wind up with a whole lot of nothing. And that's just the case. Now, one of the worst right now, by the way, is the Alabama Democratic Party. I have said this before. I am not a fan of the Democrat Party. Do not mistake what I'm about to say for saying Phil's moderated himself. I'm not. But what I'm saying is the Republican Party in Alabama will never go back to being a solid conservative Republican Party until the Democrats get themselves in order. What, pray tell, do you mean, Phil Williams? How could you say that? We're a red state. Yes, we are. And we're a red state with purple politics. What's happened in the last few years? Teachers' union has gotten control. You can't find any school choice. They raised your gas taxes. They grew government bigger than California or New York has grown in the last few years. And there's a lot of things they've done right. And there's a lot of things they've just really not done well at all. Purple politics in Montgomery. So that being said, what's going to wind up having to happen is they're going to have to be challenged. Right now, the Republican Party, in terms of its elected officials, not the party itself, has gotten fat and lazy because everything has got an R by it. And they don't have to worry about supermajorities have the vote. If we don't want to do it, we won't. If we do feel like doing it, we will. And the end result is they've gotten lazy. It's because the Democrat Party is broken down, because the Democrat Party is constantly at war with itself over, you guessed it, divisions. Divisions in their own party. Divisions about how they're going to set the bylaws. What groups are we going to have? How many caucuses can we have? Do we have the LGBTQ caucus for the Democrat Party? Do we have the Native American caucus? Do we have the Black caucus? Do we have, is there a white caucus? I don't know. All I'm saying is, in a minute when we get back from the break, I'm going to give you the latest story that came off of AL.com about how another DNC, by the way, keep in mind, the National Democrat Party pretty much had to shut down the state party a few years ago. The state party didn't even have money to pay its power bills. Woo. And they were being run by folks who were absolutely co-opting things on the basis of race. Well, they came in, tried to fix it. Guess what happened? This past weekend, it broke down over race again. Because they're constantly looking at division. Because when you look at everything all the time, you get a whole lot of nothing. I'll tell you about it in more detail when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signals so far on down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of even Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, last 25 minutes of the day, you guys are in go-home mode. You can smell the barn. I know you can. And let me just tell you about one of our advertisers before you get there. The ELM Foundation, ELM. It stands for Expect Little Miracles. Love this. So the ELM Foundation is doing what needs to be done. They're getting out there and helping people who are on the streets, finding their way back into a place of self-worth, the ability to participate in society, to have jobs, to, you know, to basically restore life. And I love it. I mean, they're not doing it like government does, where you just throw money out there and hope it sticks. No, these folks are actually walking people through it, and they're giving them accountability, like holding them to a plan. It's a program they have to go through, and they're a 501c3. And what's kind of cool is they're being very successful at what they do. But in the course of doing it as a 501, when they raise money, every dollar somebody sends in goes to the programs, because they have one benefactor who is underwriting every bit of their administrative costs. So all their admin work and salaries for their staff is taken care of. They can raise money just for programming and put it all to work. So the ELM Foundation, here's their website, ELMHSV, as in ELM Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. Check it out, and if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right. Very cool. Let me jump over the text lines for a minute. Boom, we got some people texting in. And by the way, there were several folks that were pleased that you played Stranglehold.
I saw that. They were happy that happened. They're like, yes.
I think it was Tom from Tanner who also just texted in again and went, oh, yeah. So what else we got here? Let me just see what we got. John from Decatur says, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., they know what Texas has been dealing with. And we have an overpass to nowhere, he says, on Highway 20, just past I-65 and I-565 in Decatur. Ah, I think I know which one you're talking about. Tony from Piedmont says, swap the last two letters, DEI to DIE in the acronym. Hat tip to Dan Bongino on that one, he says. Leanne from Huntsville. One of the Leanne from Huntsville says, there's a Leanne caucus.
There is.
Apparently there is.
There is.
We're going to have to like give them numbers. Leanne 1, Leanne 2, Thing 1, Thing 2. All right. All you Leannes out there, we love you. And then we got Jim from Huntsville says the same thing. DEI, more like DIE, which stands for Devise Inequality and Exclusion. Ah, did you see that?
Yes.
That was perfection. Jim from Huntsville, you may win the texting today. Okay. I was talking about the Alabama Democrat Party a minute ago, and my whole section here is about everything is nothing. When you're constantly focused on the divisions you're trying to create in society, what do you get out of that? Well, you get a whole lot of nothing. It's kind of hard to get something done when you've created. I mean, like, first of all, there's an old saying, if you want to see something die, put it in committee. Because when you get down to the point that everybody wants to have a say, it's certainly going to slow things down. Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't mean don't go to committees, and committees have no place. It's not what I'm saying. I'm using that as a rough analogy to get to the bigger point, that liberal Democrats are constantly harping on ways to find something to do with differentiating you from the other. They don't want you to be the same. Oh, you appear to be in this group. Oh, we've developed a new category and you're it. Even the gay community has gotten so out of hand with the acronym, nobody even knows what it means anymore. LGBTQ2IA something, I don't know what it is. It goes on and on and on. The Democrat Party in Alabama has got a real problem. So a little background history here. There's a guy named Joe Reed. Joe Reed has headed up the Black Caucus of the Democrat Party in Alabama for decades. And Joe Reed does not like not having power. Joe Reed stood in the way of progress for the Democrat Party in Alabama for years. And Joe Reed was the man. He controlled the flow. His son, by the way, is Stephen Reed, mayor of Montgomery. And Joe Reed and another member of the state Democratic Committee, Randy Kelly, they helped jump in there this past weekend and make some changes. How did that work out? Well, it's created more division. And what's interesting is they're fighting amongst themselves over the representation of various subgroups. So when the National Party came in a few years ago, the Democrat Party was falling apart. Their bylaws weren't being abided by. And the National Party said, look, you're going to lose your charter unless you start revising the bylaws. And they did. And in the course of doing it, they set up the sub-caucuses for the LGBTQ sub-caucus, the Black sub-caucus, the Native American sub-caucus, the youth sub-caucus. What else did they have? I forgot what all they had. The Hispanic sub-caucus, if I didn't already say that, and a number of others. They had multiple sub-caucuses. It's like, okay, I get that you're going to have young Republicans or something like that, but you guys have gone so far afield that you're going to have tiny tables of people sitting in different parts of the room. Well, this past weekend, it got crazy. Allegations of serious irregularities have erupted in the meeting's conduct that calls into question the validity of the actions that were taken, said a number of people who protested. It wasn't last weekend, it was 2 weekends ago, I'm sorry. It says the supporters went in and co-opted the leadership, put something in place where they were charging people to even come into the meeting, which has never happened before, and did away with the multiple caucuses and tried to change the bylaws. And even misstated that there was a quorum at times. You know why they're doing this? Power. They're trying to reconsolidate what they had already divided, and now they're fighting over whether it should be divided or not because they're so embedded in the idea of factionalization. And it goes down to all kinds of things like, I don't know, how about reparations? Here's a great idea. Let's find something bad that happened 150 years ago, and people who live now who never experienced it, let's give them money as a way of feeling contrite and doing virtue signaling. Story on Fox News. Woke ideology lawmakers on the Dems, $14 trillion, you heard me right, $14 trillion reparations demand to address the harms since the founding of our country. Well, Representative Cori Bush has never been known for being smart, nor has she been known for making good policy. She's a firebrand, she's an activist, and she's now a congresswoman. And she's got a resolution that would call for the federal government to potentially pay trillions of dollars in reparations to the descendants of slaves and people of African descent. Huh. Let me get this straight. Hang on a second. I just realized that. So it's not just those who are descendants of slaves. It's people who are descendants of slaves and of African descent. So I guess if they immigrated here 50 years ago looking for a better life, then they're supposed to get money too, according to Cori Bush. Here's her quote. Black people in our country cannot wait any longer for our government to begin addressing each and every one of the extraordinary bits of harm. First of all, let me just point out, Cori Bush, that we have not only addressed each and every little bit, that we've got the greatest civil rights laws in the world. There's always going to be somebody who violates them. That's why we have courts. There's always going to be racism. That's why we have civil rights laws. And then we have people like Cori Bush, who can find a racist under every rock. And she says further, all the harm being caused since the founding, it continues to perpetuate every day across all the communities across this country. And she wants reparations in the forms of trillions of dollars. It does say, though, she could not say where the funding would come from. Interesting. Says, we're still having those conversations, the Missouri congressman. But she's so focused on division. And that's exactly what I'm saying. The level of division that the liberals want gets them nothing. If anything, maybe it develops their power base, because then they can go talk to a small faction and pit them against another faction and pit that one against the other two factions. And pretty soon they're standing in the middle calling themselves the peacekeeper when really what they're doing is they're the divider. Remember Joe Biden? If you ain't voting for me, you ain't black. Okay, what a thing to say. How about Jill Biden comparing them to breakfast burritos or something like that? The Hispanics? I mean, and then just this past weekend, and how insulting is this? Oh, gosh, what's her name? Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida, said that if we can't get more illegal aliens in here, we won't be able to harvest our crops. She says it out loud. You know why? Because they look at people as factions. They don't look at them in the whole. They don't look at them. I mean, I granted, there's a time and a place to see the individual, certainly. But if you're going to have a team, if you're going to have a nation, at some point you got to stop dividing each other up. You got to stop with the asinine jackassery. Oh, I just said it, Boomer. The asinine jackassery. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I caught you off guard. I know. The asinine jackassery of trying to constantly divide people into subgroups, because, like I said earlier, when you divide people up constantly, when everything is what you're after, then nothing is what you get. All right, we're going to go to break right now. We're going to come right back. I got to tell you some good news before we're done. Like, you may want to hear what one Montgomery beer distributor said regarding his own company he distributes for. That would be Bud. What do you say about Dylan Mulvaney? Yeah. We got an Alabama company having some words with the boss, if you know what I'm saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Final moments of the show here. Got several things going on the text lines, man. What else?
There's a lot going on, but I will say we don't have a new texter, but we have a new texter name, and that is Rough Leanne from Huntsville.
So one of our Leannes.
Yes.
She didn't want to be Leanne 1, Leanne 2.
Yeah, she wanted to be Rough Lee, but I'm just going to keep it at Rough Leanne.
As in ruffian, like R-U-F-F,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, R-U-F-F.
All like right.
Ruffian. All right.
They are now trying to distinguish themselves amongst themselves. So, yeah, we all right. We love all our Leannes. Thank you very much, Rough Leanne. Chris from Gadsden, by the way, just texted in. And he pointed out, you know, a minute ago, the reparations thing, Cori Bush calling for reparations for descendants of slaves and of African descent. He points out Elon Musk is of African descent.
Wow.
I feel certain Cori Bush didn't mean that because he's a cis white male. Okay. You can't do reparations for a cis white male.
Can't do it.
But here's the confusion. You and I have talked about this before, Boomer. What happens if you decide to identify as black?
Well, they're letting the identifying go, I guess. I don't know. I mean, what's going to... like?
What if I identify of African descent? Can I get money out of this plan?
Maybe we should try.
I may have to support this.
I mean, they're supporting everything else if they identify as whatever, so might as well just... See what happens.
We need to get an update on that guy who was a city councilman up in, what, Indiana or someplace, who said he came out and said he now identifies as a transgender woman of color, even though he's a guy. He's a white dude. Mm-hmm. A transgender woman of color. But then he added, but since I still like women, that makes me a lesbian also. And he got so much heat. But all he did was just take their script and just put it to use.
Exactly.
And he wore them out, too. He told them, you cannot come out here and set the rules and then tell me I can't play on the field.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, listen, a couple of things I want to make sure you guys knew. First of all, I told a story yesterday that really was just gross. It just made me mad. And it was about the L.A. Dodgers, who are going to have their Gay Pride Night coming up, and they were going to honor as a local hero an organization called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. It's a group of transgender and queer activists who dress up as mock nuns, and they perform all kinds of lewd acts while they're pretending they're doing Catholic ceremonies. They actually did a they did a mock event on Easter Sunday, mocking Jesus and Mary, and it's just, I mean, this group is sick. I don't mean like a little bit; I mean like a lot sick. And they were being honored by the Dodgers. Well, the Dodgers, they heard from the crowd. The Dodgers heard from the people. They heard from the Dodgers fans, and I love this. They pulled out. They said, nope, we're actually not going to do that. They're done. Sorry. says, this year as a part of a full night of programming, we invited a number of groups to join us. We are now aware that our inclusion of one group in particular, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, in this year's Pride Night has been the source of some controversy. You think? Talk about trying to smooth this over. Yeah. We recognize there might be a little bit of controversy. A little. It says, given the strong feelings of people who have been offended by their inclusion in our evening, in an effort not to distract from the great benefits we've seen over the years of Pride Night, we decided to remove them from this year's group of honorees. Here's an idea. Why are you doing Pride Night? Just celebrate Dodger fans. How about that? Hey, Dodger fans, we love you. And, you know.
Dodger fans, we love you. Come get a Dodger doll.
That's right. Just, but no, you gotta find a faction. And you gotta show how woke you are. What can we do? Let's honor a subset of our. I mean, it's anyway. All right. Now, on a lighter note, you may recall, if you were listening to the show at the very beginning, my monologue today dealt with what I called paying for the preaching. Like, why is it nowadays when you go to buy a beer, go to buy a truck, go to buy a swimsuit, go to get a ticket to an amusement park, what you're also doing is buying the preaching? You got to get preached at. All you wanted was the beer, the truck, the swimsuit, or the ticket to the amusement park. You didn't want to get preached at. You didn't want to have your values questioned because you chose to drink that beer. You just wanted the beer. And isn't that the case? Well, I will say this. The thing that kicked all this into high gear of late was when Bud Light decided to put transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney on their can with his ridiculous cartoonish smile, pretending he's a 13-year-old girl. And their sales are tanked. Bud Light sales right now, story on 1819 News, dated today. Bud Light sales are down 23.6% in May. 23.6%. And they're in the fifth week of their backlash from the Mulvaney fallout.
Wow.
However, one major distributor in Alabama, he ain't good with it. I mean, it's killing his business.
Yeah.
He's a Budweiser distributor. The name of the company is Bama Budweiser, and he actually came out recently and said, yeah, we too at Bama Budweiser are upset, and we've made our feelings known to the top leadership at Anheuser-Busch. The voice of the consumer has been heard, and Anheuser-Busch has taken action, and we at Bama Budweiser, an independent wholesaler, we employ around 100 people who live here, work here, and our children go to school here, and we do not, and I've said it before, did not support this issue involving Dylan Mulvaney. And then he tries to kind of downplay it. It was only one can. No, dude, it was not just one can. It was an activist agenda. But I certainly appreciate the fact that you've got a distributor.
He's talking back.
He's talking back. He's got 100 employees who, and it's probably crushing his bottom line right now.
I'm sure.
But they had to be woke. They had to tell everybody how woke they were. All right. Thank you, Bama Budweiser, and good luck to you. And I hope the parent company wakes up and realizes that pretty soon they need to do an ad that pretty much says, sorry, our mistake.
They need to.
They need to do like HK did. HK, the Heckler & Koch, the gun manufacturer, they came out, and one of their employees officially put out a statement that seemed to be like in support of some woke advertising. And they came back and said, our policies were not followed. Changes have been made. We do not get involved in partisan politics or identity politics. All right, man. Wow, what a good day.
It was a very good day.
I know we got some great stuff laid on for tomorrow. I've got at least one state senator and probably one other guest coming on. Going to talk about things that are happening around and about the state of Alabama and beyond. And folks, you guys have an amazing night. We love what we do. We love this audience. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2 to see you then. Have a great night.